I should begin by saying that I went to as many of the CAG meetings as I could, and I really appreciated the work that they all did. I learned a lot, and I believe that integration is the right choice for our community. I was elected 2 years ago, and it is a steep learning curve, but I take very seriously my responsibility to the public. And I appreciate all the work that all of you have done in working with you. I think you did Appleton and Smith, you came on in February after I was elected, is that right?
So, about right.
Yeah.
2018.
So we've been about a year and a half, year and three quarters in together. So as I've stated previously, I'm not in favor of signing this contract. The board is in the midst of a transition of leadership, and it is irresponsible to saddle the incoming board, the public, and the staff of EMS with a contract that does not have unanimous support. This board has fiduciary responsibility over taxpayer dollars that support EMS services. The voters we represent in this integration must have the assurance of continued excellent health care. There are important steps that have been overlooked in the rush to ensure integration. Before signing over this board's leverage, representation, and liability to another agency, we must follow a process that supports the CAG's findings and best serves our community as we work towards a successful integration. Before signing a contract, we owe it to our community to create and analyze the proposed combined budgets of fire and EMS, I believe for at least 3 years, including valuing our capital equipment and budgeting for added expenses and equipment to assess the viability of integration. We must ensure that integration aligns with state and federal laws overseeing our emergency services. There must be a clear path towards integration that includes operations, administration, and assurances to our staff regarding job security and EMS union approval, or paramedic union approval, rather. EMS and the PhD needs approval and consent from our lender on to potentially end the loan on our levy. EMS and PhD needs approval and consent from PIMC regarding our contract. The board still has work to do buttoning up its liabilities. We are in a negotiation process with the AG over the CID, and we have an upcoming audit that will show our progress towards financial accountability. We have trust to build as a board. In order to receive public support, we have to show accountability to the community we represent. Levies do not pass easily, and we have to be the stewards of a transparent integration process while continuing to ensure we provide excellent emergency care. We must respect and value our staff in this process. We must allow them to be included. The public needs to know that this board is operating transparently in the best interest of health care. The fire board chair has published a letter saying they will not sign this ILA unless there is unanimous support by the outgoing and incoming PhD boards. I ask you, this board, to set this community up for success and hold off on signing this contract. Your work and intention is appreciated. However, done is not better than perfect. This process needs time, intention, and careful oversight.
Thank you, Annalisa. Dr. Schwein.
There's no perfect agreement. We can admit that right up front. Before I get too much into my comments, I'd like to inquire first of Pam and then Nathan and then also Carl and get your perspective concerning this.
I think Carl should go first. I have watched this. My comments are just facts. I don't want my words twisted one way or the other. It's just facts. My job, I'm supposed to be neutral and followed by the RCWs and everything that the hospital district does. And I have five bosses that I work for equally. And I try to do that every day for each one of you, as well as Nathan. We started this process with the interlocal agreement back on August 28th, I believe, when Chief Kutzing and Chief Collins gave a work session and they outlined what had been going on so far with the integration. And from that point till today, there's been 7 meetings that we've talked about this interlocal agreement. Since I have been part of the hospital district, that was April of 2005, that is the most that an agreement has been talked about at a meeting since the very first Peace Health subsidy that set up the hospital, and that, you know, that was pretty big. So I feel like everyone got to comment. The first ILA agreement out there was not a sound one. People got to comment, the incoming commissioners, the current commissioners, the public. So we've gone through, now this is the 7th meeting. So I feel like everybody got to comment on it. There have been changes made in it. If it is voted, this hypothetically, if it's voted today, it does give the incoming commissioners a way to, if they feel like it is not the step when they get in to talk, that they can alter it or elect not to go forward. So that was a big step in recognizing that there are 4 new incoming commissioners that will have the majority of looking and integrating EMS with fire, and that is what the basic goal is, that I feel like everyone's lost sight of, that the Citizens Advisory Group was made up of the public. They spent a year of dedicated service. The public got to come to the meetings, so the public was very well represented in that. And at the end of it, on April 2nd, the Citizens Advisory Group recommended that, yes, EMS should be integrated with fire. So that step, you know, was made, and it was a very deliberate, and I thank the Citizens Advisory Group for how thorough they had the process, and for all the meetings and all the public time that they allowed for the public to come. But then they handed it off to the steering committee, which is made up of the chiefs of San Juan Island EMS and the fire district, and representatives of their commission board, the public hospital board, and they were given the task of integrating within a year and a half to 2 years. And so they've handed that responsibility off to the very operating officers of each one of these organizations, and they work in it day to day. They know the operations backwards and forwards. They know their personnel. They know their staff. The commissioners spend hours on each side looking and watching out over the public funds that the public has entrusted. So, you know, I feel like they have the responsibility to take what the Citizens Advisory have given confidence and placed with them and continue this integration. And that's what we need to focus on, that we want to continue the integration. I've been serving 17 commissioners since 2005, since I've worked for the hospital district, and every turnover in the board, I've seen each commissioner come on board with taking that oath and a public wanting to do the very best when they're here. Every single one of them, and I don't feel like it's going to be any different with the new commissioners coming in. The 4 commissioners that are leaving have a collective experience of 25 years. The new commission board has a collective experience of 2 years. So, but does that make one board going to always make the right decisions and the one not? No. It's the passion that each one puts with the job that comes on board, and to work collectively together and are mandated to represent our public and our public dollars in the very best way possible. The RCWs have a process where, you know, majority vote. You're not always going to have decisions that are 5-0. There is a record for, you know, the majority vote is taken. So once that vote is taken, if it's not a unanimous decision, I think it's a responsibility of our district to take that vote and make the very best of it going forward. And I feel like the incoming commissioners, yes, they have a steep learning curve, but Nathan and I are going to have already started the education process, and we're going to do our very best to give them every opportunity to learn, to request things they are not sure about. Many education processes, many of people that I've talked to with the other public hospital districts, I've been preparing for this day for 2 years because I knew we were going to have this change with 4 out of 5 commissioners. So I think they will have the opportunity to come take their oaths, and whatever is in place for them, then they will look at it and make the very best choices for our district, whether or not the vote is today. It's when they get into office and what they do with that. And this is not the first time that we have had a majority turnover in our board. We had it in 2016. There were 3. And that board came in, took their oath, and got down to work. And many of the things that they have, this current board, was in place. And everybody did the very best they could. And I don't have any doubt that that won't continue, and that we can, if we all work together, make a better SJI EMS than we have today. Thank you.
Yeah, you know, thank you for asking, Dr. Schwinge, I think. You know, it's admittedly a difficult situation. You have, on the one hand, you know, a board that's been working on this issue for quite a while, has a lot of experience with it. On the other hand, we have the almost unprecedented situation of almost an entire changeover with a new board who will be responsible for the process going forward. I don't have an answer to that dilemma. It's admittedly a difficult one, and it's a political decision that the board will make, and that we will support whatever your decision is. As staff, we will implement the decisions of the board as we always do. My main concern is mainly to do with what is essentially a relatively narrow issue that has come to appear as an extremely major decision, and the people who don't follow what we're doing closely, hearing the consternation and things going on, end up having in their minds a negative impression. And from where I sit, that's concerning to me, because going into the process forward, we will want their support and need their support. I don't know that I have an answer to that, but I have confidence that as we go forward as a district, current board and oncoming board, that we will be able to earn the public's trust and be able to do what is best. At the end of the day, all of us are doing the best that we can. And I think today we've heard many different opinions, many of which conflict one with another, but each of which is sincerely held and represent different takes on what is fundamentally a difficult situation. So I suppose my advice and my input would be, whatever the outcome and whatever we all decide, each of us need to take a deep breath, relax just a little bit, and try to keep in perspective what we're actually doing. And if we do that, in the day it'll be okay. And there'll be some consternation, some hurt feelings, and some difficulty as we work through this. But at the end of the day, I have confidence in all of us that we're doing the best we can for the public. I think that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Nathan. And Carl.
You want to keep going, Nathan? What Nathan said, you are the governing body. Your decision, we will support it. We take our direction from you. So regardless of how that vote turns out, of what you decide as a board to do, we'll do our best to implement that. I want you all to know that we're going to continue to provide the best care for our community regardless. That's our primary mission, and that's what we will continue to do. I put it up on the board before and said we want to provide the best service to our community, and we want to be able to provide for the people who provide that service. Those are our two fundamental goals, and those will continue on. I also support, as to what Nathan also said, I think it's a little disheartening to hear some of the public comment and the editorials, in that I think some people have failed to realize that we're talking about two very different pieces of the same process. At this point in time, as Mr. Geldorf said, we're looking at a procedural step. It is a way that gives us permission to plan, to figure out budgets, to do long-range planning, and answer the difficult questions that still remain in terms of operations. How do we handle labor? How do we handle the type of rollout that we're going to do? That's all down the road. And those pieces, as Dr. Appleson has said, we're working on those. We've accomplished quite a bit. We'll continue to work on those. This particular ILA is a procedural piece. It's not full integration. And I'm hoping that people don't get that confused. We're not talking about having every question answered, every piece in place. What we're looking for is the legal permission to plan and to put those things forward and to work out those details. We've got time before full integration happens. That comes with a successor agreement. Again, it gives us the time. I really don't have anything else to say other than please let's make sure that we're keeping this procedural piece separate from full integration. They're not the same thing. We're not trying to answer all the questions with one document. Right now, this particular document before us is a procedural step.
What would you say to the assertion that the process will go forward irrespective of our signing the ILA?
Chief Collins and I know that as we respond to the emergencies that arise in our community, there are numerous times when we use apparatus from Fire District 3 as well as apparatus from San Juan Island EMS. And for us to do that well and efficiently, it's going to require planning and coordination between the two of us, and we'll keep doing that.
Does it therefore require our signing the ILA, or can you do those things without it?
I don't know if it necessarily requires the signing of the ILA to do that. It makes things cleaner from a liability standpoint. In fact, if I can digress for just a moment, Jason Norris, who is a representative from the Department of Health, was up on the island here today looking at San Juan Island Fire and Rescue, Fire District 3's, reviewing their license for BLS-A. It's a non-transport license. We were advised that this is a good interim step as we contemplate togetherness, as we work toward full integration. And as we were answering questions put forth by Department of Health, we realized that there are things they ask, for example, how you do continuing education. Well, we've got cross-trained members, and we're doing that through San Juan Island EMS, but this is a separate license, and things get complicated. Mm-hmm. And the full integration certainly seems like all of those convolutions disappear. So it's encouraging to hear that we're all kind of on the same page and saying full integration is our eventual goal. And what we're seeing is that some of these legal pieces, a lot of this was done just kind of like, we're good to go as a gentleman's agreement kind of thing between previous chiefs and administrations and previous boards. We'll just do that. And you look for the formalized documentation, and it's just not there. Because that's not how we did things. We were a small organization. We all kind of knew each other. But as you start to look at, as we start to become, you know, more than just a small operation, a little more formalized, I think those legal pieces, we should have them. It makes things cleaner. It keeps it straight. If things change, if boards change, if administration of leadership changes, there's something to look back on, and you're not relying on, well, that's just how it was. Keep doing it the way that I did it, and you'll be good to go. You can actually look at something that's in a binder, it's on a thumb drive someplace that is actually a formalized, laid out agreement. So I think we're better served in formalizing it rather than not.
Tonight you're conducting joint training with fire for HIPAA, is that correct?
It's our San Juan Island EMS is doing their annual HIPAA review. For those who are new to the agency, they've already got it. This would be a review as well. And our cross-training people, they'll be here. My idea is, as we started talking, saying, well, now we've got some firefighters who may very well be responding on a engine with an EMT, but they need to understand that as well. So I put that invitation out to the fire department and said, we're doing it tonight. Come if you can. It was kind of short notice. And if they can go through the training, that's one more checkbox that we can do. But I can also say right now, in just my conversation with Chief Collins earlier this morning, they have their own HIPAA training plan for middle of December.
I believe I heard a comment that we're not in compliance now with HIPAA. Is that true?
I don't believe so. We have the software is HIPAA compliant. We go through training annually. We have passwords in place. We have timeouts for computers. We have policies and procedures that keep us HIPAA compliant. In my estimation, I don't think we're out of compliance.
There was another comment concerning value to the taxpayer. This ILA entails $30,000 payment to be made to Fire District 3. Do you believe that's a value, a good deal for the taxpayer?
I do, in that the added work of trying to integrate and look at two separate agencies at the same time, that requires extra time, effort. And it should be compensated. I think we've been able to provide some savings already in the fact that by having me come on as an interim chief, I don't have the same price tag as, you know, a chief that you would have hired knowing that it was going to be a standalone agency and continuing on status quo. So we've done some cost savings there. To have that coordination, I think, there's value to that.
What is that value? What is the dollar value that the taxpayers would be saving?
I'd be remiss if I tried to put it.
Is there a differential between the $30,000 paid and your reduction of salary?
The change between my predecessor and myself is $15,000. The fact that we have kind of taken out and put four full-time EMTs and really kind of backed off from a full-time director of operations and a full-time logistics or support officer. There's savings involved with that, but I couldn't tell you off the top of my head what those savings were.
And Carl, one other question. Mm-hmm. Do you consider this process that has been sometimes criticized to be inadequate or insufficient in any way?
No. The difficulty that I think we've come across is by looking at drafts. Drafts are just that. They are drafts. They are, from the very onset, designed to be looked at, go over with a fine-tooth comb, make revisions, make changes. If drafts have too many fingers in it, it becomes cumbersome and difficult to manage. And I think, in hindsight, I think maybe the first draft that was released hadn't been honed well enough before it went out for everybody to take a look at and make a comment on. The idea behind that is it's very, very difficult to create a document in committee. It's much easier to edit a document in committee. And that's the process that I see. You know, as the steering committee, our job was to create the skeleton, hopefully put some meat on the bones, and then let you as a commission, the fire district as a commission, to do the edits to make it a working, you know, to make it workable. We may, again, in hindsight, I think maybe that first one that came out hadn't been fleshed out well enough.
The draft we have before us now is the work product of two attorneys, is that right? Joe Quinn as well as Richard Davis?
That's correct. Both have had review on it. The bulk of the bones was from Rich Davis, who is our attorney, representing the hospital district. Joe Quinn had input into it as representing the fire district. It's gone back and forth. Duncan Wilson, who's also a licensed attorney, has had some input into this as well. So we've had really three different attorneys take a look at it for when you look at the edits as well.
Pam, I had another question, if I may. With regard to Dr. Appleton's concerns about a lack of interface with a Peace Island Medical Center and the CAO, Marianne Keene, we've had no answer whatsoever concerning Dr. Appleton's concerns.
When Dr. Evers and I had the first meeting with Beth Williams-Giger back on October 2nd, there was nothing in this agreement, the subsidy agreement, community paramedics, and anything that was going on that gave her pause of what the district was doing that was interfering with Peace Health. But she did say she would have to run it up the chain, and so that's happening. She and I have not heard from. I put a call into Marianne Keene, but she's been in a lot of meetings, and I have not heard back from her yet to assess where, you know, getting the absolute letter back from legal is right now.
Is Richard Davis aware of this? Dr. Appleton, perhaps you know.
In my last and only conversation that lasted 10 minutes and 16 seconds with him, the answer is no. I tried to broach the subject, but he told me that I was not the contact person for him and declined to answer any other questions.
Okay, thank you. So there's some history on fire and EMS that I suppose is known to some in the community at least, but it started out with a division over power and money. It kind of boils down to that control, authority, and autonomy, and power. It's time for reconciliation. I think there's time to put this together. It can't come too soon at this late date. This has been studied to death. As our agreement between this board and Fire District 3 board on April 2nd, we agreed to take the next step. The ILA is the next step. It's been long delayed. I think bringing together EMS and fire should happen, and I think it should happen sooner instead of later. By reuniting them, we are going to improve their operations, and I believe there's going to be some reduced cost to taxpayers. And overwhelmingly, across the nation and Washington State, it is the best practices standard that fire and EMS are integrated. And these facts should move us to approve the ILA. And reasons for further delay are not well evidenced. the assertion that somehow the new board is going to have to bear the burden of this. Yeah, you know, that's true, but every new board is bearing the burden of previous contracts. When I came on board, there was a subsidy agreement with two amendments, and it was incumbent upon any new board member at that point to assume those responsibilities. So too with this. This will be one agreement that's in place to the benefit of the community, and it's coming very late, and I apologize for that. But I think that I will be supporting this, and I think it's the time is now for reconciliation. It's been long overdue.
Thank you, sir, and I'll make my comments last, and it's always difficult because a lot of the comments that I had here and there have already been addressed very eloquently, so I'll just reiterate some of these. And one is, Ev, you mentioned that the CAG is sort of the intellectual think tank relative to not even themselves, but also the Fire 3 board and the PhD board. I agree with that, not in terms of they're better than the rest of them, but I think they're very, very complimentary, very scholarly. Given that, Chuck Daldor's submission, which I read to all of you folks, you know, point blank recommends that we sign the current ILA. I agree with that, and I'm going to vote positively for this. The second thing, and keeping the ball rolling, so to speak, is that we also adhere to the two-year timeline. That was a recommendation of CAG going many, many months ago. I think that's very important. It's very important for a myriad of reasons. One is the potential annexation of the smaller islands, negotiations with the town of Friday Harbor in terms of changing their ILA between Fire 3 and the town, or annexation per se. And also levies, you know, there's a discrete timeline that we're not behind the curve yet, but I wouldn't want to see us behind the curve, because the sooner that we can integrate Fire District 3 and Salmon Island EMS, the closer we come to being able to establish a county-wide regional fire authority. And to me, that is the top of the heap. It's not discussed all that often, but it's a blessing in so, so many ways in terms of integrating the fire and rescue services and EMS services countywide with protocols. And it just goes on and on and on. So the other thing I wanted to mention is that I think it was mentioned in Chairman Jarman's letter that I said, you know, I'm paraphrasing Fire 3, he's kind of putting themselves out, you know, trying to accommodate EMS, and I agree with that. You know, we have had a checkered history, you know, and we have a SID hanging over our head, and it goes on and on and on. So I think that the ongoing relationship, not only between the two chiefs, but also the two boards, in my way of looking at it, is very symbiotic, and it's very cost-effective. $30,000 is cheap, but when it comes down to it, we can allow one of our CPAs to retire and things of that sort. You know, we're going to save money in the deal. And if you look at the talent that Fire 3 offers, it's outstanding. Starting with the board, I would mention, I think I see Jarman hiding back there. So I'm going to mention Commissioner Cardinale, who's, you know, chief San Francisco Fire Department for many, many years. I mean, that is just top of the heap. Commissioner Olson and even Jarman, you know, I mean, they're seasoned veterans. They know this community inside and out, and that's precious. And then if you go down to the chief rank, Norman Collins, you know, the doggone guy's a paramedic too. And he grew up and integrated fire and rescue systems with EMS. I think he's 30 years in the saddle as being incredible paramedic, so it's like, that's precious to have that, you know, built in on the side of Fire 3. I think it's really going to grease the skids as far as ultimate integration. The other thing with regards to this document, yeah, it's not perfect. It's gone through, I think Dr. Appleton mentioned, you know, seven iterations or whatever. Well, that's the nature of the beast, and I think the consensus is that the current rendering that we have, you know, particularly after the additions of Mr. Wilson to the town, you know, it's right for going forward. Lastly, you know, it can be modified, right? You know, we have three amends with the subsidy agreement with Peace Island Medical Center and Salmon Island PhD number one. That's very doable. And with any sort of cooperation between the two parties, the two boards, which I fully anticipate, that's a slam dunk. It's very easy to do, and it continues to improve not only the ILA as it is, an administrative ILA, but more importantly, the full integration ILA, which is going to be a wrestling match, as Carl mentioned to you. You think we worked hard at this, man, oh man, a lot worse and a lot more arduous looking forward. So I'm going to vote for this measure. Any other further comments?
I have a couple of questions, but not as many as I had two meetings ago. So
good thing.
So Carl, today at 13:30 hours on 11/12, can you assure me and the community that this agreement is not a business associate agreement as defined under HIPAA? I gave you paperwork on that 3 weeks ago to ask you to look at that.
I have not had the opportunity to do that.
So if this agreement is passed and it doesn't meet the criteria of a business associate agreement, which is defined by federal law, we could be in trouble for having signed this.
I don't know that. I don't know.
I will tell you will be. You can be. Second, I have a question for everybody on this panel. On the oversight and reporting 2.1, that's part of the contract. I'm working off the 11-8-2000. It mentions RCW 39.34.030. Previous copies of this, this ILA is brought, is our understanding, our communal understanding, and I think it is, that this agreement was developed under RCW 39.34 section. Is that correct?
It's a question for Mr. Davis, isn't it?
No, it's not a question for Mr. Davis. We're here today, and it's a question for us. We've had copies, we've talked about this, we've added et ceteras, and we've talked about this multiple times.
Well, I would say
it says it right here, that a provision of it. So does it make this whole thing subject to that?
You know, this latest version, including Duncan Wilson's comments, has been reviewed by Richard Davis. And so if it didn't catch his eye, it's certainly not going to catch our eye, because we're not attorneys. So you pose a question to lay people when it comes to nuances in terms of referencing RCW.
Well, I will help you out by reading this for you. This is RCW 39.34.030. I have in my hand under 4A. It talks about provisions of administration. So it refers this contract to 39.340. And my understanding is that this is when we first start with this ILA, interlocal agreement. Actually, the first contract said intergovernmental agreement. And when we started with this, that was what we're bringing under. That is the form that the state requires that we bring this under. That's why it's called an ILA. Otherwise, it would have just been an agreement. And we brought that underneath that. Both Joe Quinn and Richard Davis had that in the original contracts. It has been moved in this contract to a different section. Before, it was under the general section. So my understanding of this contract is it comes under RCW 39.34, et cetera. There's a chapter on it in the revised Code of Washington. So, but you can't give me that assurance that this is not a business associate agreement. Does anyone think this does not come under 39.340?
Again, it's a legal question, and frankly, Ron, you should have raised that, you know, before now with counsel. That's what counsel's all about.
Well, I have raised this multiple times in the last seven meetings.
Yeah, Nathan.
I do recall when Dr. Appleton raised this concern a few weeks ago, and we ran that by Richard Davis, that he looked up this RCW, and the RCW that's enumerated here, 39.34.04.030, subsection 4A, is the correct one. That's the one. When he raised his concern, that's the RCW he said needed to be there.
So this is under the RCW 3934. That's my question.
That's my understanding, is that that is the case, okay, that he specifically
raised it with
looked at
him.
This.
He quotes 3934 as the basis of this document. Because it was the basis of this document, very plain, and all of a sudden it got moved and shoved into a different paragraph. I'm just making sure that we're talking about the same, and you raised it, so.
I couldn't speak to the implications of that, only that he did say this was the RCW.
And I still have the question that I have not heard answer definitively about the Peace Health subsidy agreement. It was a 48-page agreement with a one-page addendum because it didn't have the appropriate signatures on it. May of 2006. But I haven't heard the answer to that yet.
Well, the answer is pending. Opinion from legal counsel. Mary Ann Keene was on an extended holiday in Ireland for 3 weeks plus, and so the process is grinding away. I can assure you, though, and I've looked at the subsidy agreement, and I know what the San Juan Island Community Parent Medicine Program is all about, and I know what outreach is all about at the hands of Peace Island Medical Center with the nursing staff and their physician staff. And there's no conflict there.
Okay, that's your personal opinion, not a legal opinion, correct?
Of course not.
Okay, well,
but we have to wait for the legal opinion.
And that's why I'm saying this. We shouldn't sign this until we have the
nonsense,
legal opinion.
Nonsense. Yeah. They're totally different considerations.
Pam has a comment.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, you were in the meeting with me, with Beth Giger.
Correct.
And there was no hesitation that we were doing anything that affected.
No hesitation, but she still referred it to her chain of command to have it run through the attorney.
Which
she's not the attorney.
Proper.
These are two contracts that could be in conflict, and they should be resolved before you go to another contract.
As I said before, they are not at all analogous. And if you look at historically, in terms of the contract that we have with Planned Parenthood, that has not been specifically signed off by Peace Health Medical Center. Now, that's a hiccup. Goes back many years, but that's the truth of the matter. And nothing has become of that. So the same thing is going to happen here. We're not in conflict in terms of services to our community. We are complementary, just the opposite.
But we don't have the note from their attorney saying
we will get it. Okay, any other questions or comments? Very good. Call for the vote. All in favor of this ILA as written, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
Nay.
Nay.
Motion passes by a vote of 3-2. Meeting's adjourned. Thank you, folks.
Nathan, I'd like a copy of the table.
Yeah, sure. I want to.
I put this up on